Well, this morning we are in week three of a series that we're simply called Ask It, because we're focusing on a question that we've said answers almost everything. That if we'll take every decision, every opportunity, every invitation that comes our direction and filter it through this one question, it'll save us heartache, it'll save us maybe money, it'll save us some time, and it'll just make our life go altogether smoothly. And I came across this teaching a few years ago. I heard Andy Stanley talk about several of these things, and it was just so practical. I thought I wanted to share it with all of us so that we could all be living wisely together. The question comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, which we looked at a couple weeks ago, that says simply this: be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as what? Wise. That's right. And so the question, very simply, that we started out with, and as it comes on the screen, we'll say it together: what is the wise thing to do? With feeling, what is the wise thing to do? There, now we're with it. Okay. And that's where we started. And then over the last couple of weeks, we've kind of added a few little nuances. We've kind of dug down a little bit, give us a little, a few extra areas or ways that we could ask that question to get more specific with it and to make it more practical in our lives. And so to this point, here's the question that we've got. And as it comes up, we'll say it all together as a reminder for those of us who have been here and as a first time for those who haven't seen the first couple. In light of my past experience, present circumstances, and based on the way, what is the wise thing for me to do? That's right, because we said we have to look at our past experience, because your past experience and my past experience are different, right? And so because our pasts are different, it might be wise for you to do something now that wouldn't be wise for me to do based on my past experience. So we have to put everything in the context of our own past experience. But we also have to look at our own current circumstances, right? Because we all have different current circumstances, right? Some are young, some are old, some are just married, some have been married a long time, some have little ones at home, some have big ones at home, some have nobody at home, some have all kinds of different things. Our present circumstances are all different. So we have to view every decision in light of what is my current circumstance. Maybe this is not true forever, but for right now, for me, what's the wise thing to do? And then we also said we have to look on into the future, and based on our future hopes and dreams, asking the question, what's the wise things to do? Because we all have different hopes and dreams. You and I both know that there are some people out there in the culture that just don't have any future hopes and dreams, or it doesn't appear that they have any because of the way they live, only based on the here and the now and only living for the moment. But we don't want to be people like that, right? We want to be people that have hopes and dreams and a bright future. And so we have to take that into consideration. What our hopes and dreams are for the future will affect what we do today and what decisions we make today. And so we ask the question based on our past experience, our current circumstance, and our future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do? And that was the last couple of weeks, that was just our homework. I just challenged you to ask that question. You owed it to yourself to know the answer. Even if you decide not to do it, you may not decide to. You may decide you don't want to be wise. But you owe it to yourself to know what that would look like, what wise would look like in your circumstance, in your occasion, just by asking that question. And often, maybe even most of the time, you know the answer to the question as soon as you ask it, which is sometimes why we don't ask it, because we know what the answer is going to be and we don't want to remind ourselves of that. Well, today we're going to take that question again and make a specific application about it, another specific application regarding the wise use of our time. Okay. In Job chapter 14, verse 5, Job is talking to God, and this is what he says to God. He says, a person's days are determined. He says, you have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. Do you realize that? God has numbered our days. According to Job, he said that God has set a limit that which we can't exceed. He'd put a time limit on all of us. Now, we can overeat. Anybody? We can overspend. Anybody? Right? We can oversleep. Anybody? Right? We can overachieve, we can do lots of things, but we can't overlive, because the Bible makes it clear that God has set a certain time aside for us. He's given us the number of months that we can't exceed that. We have a limited amount of time, and That time is running out. Now, I came across a website. I don't know if you've seen this before, but it's called deathclock.com. All right, if you go to deathclock.com, it shows this. And if you can't read the small print up, let me tell you what their catchphrase is there. It says, "Welcome to Death Clock, the internet's friendly reminder that life is slipping away second by second. Like the hourglass of the net, the death clock will remind you just how short life is." That sounds pretty exciting, right? So you go to this site and you can then go to put in your information, okay? So they're going to be putting in my information back there. And so, you know, you put in your day of birth and your month and your year and if you're a man or a woman. And then that mode, you can put in normal, which what I said, or you could put like optimistic or pessimistic or sadistic, I think. Then it'll take that into account. And so you get to the bottom then, and then when you push that button, check your death clock, it comes up with your personal death clock for me. And it says, "I'm going to die on Tuesday, February the 4th, 2042, and I have that many seconds to live." And you can see those ticking away. Now, that's pretty funny, isn't it? Yeah, it's funny for you because that's my life ticking away right there, okay? But here's the thing. Your life is ticking away just the same way. Your life is ticking down. Now, is that real? Well, of course not. You know, that's just based on some actuarial numbers that they did or whatever, and it's, you know, may or may not have anywhere close to what God's amounted and allotted time for me is. But the reality is it's a mind. Get that off there. That's very distracting and plus a little depressing, right, when you just see it going. But it's a great reminder that our lives truly are ticking away, that our seconds are going by. We have an allotted amount of time. In fact, our days are numbered. And because our days are numbered, Moses said in Psalm chapter 90, verse 12, he said, because our days are numbered, and that's a great chapter if you just want to look about from someone as wise as Moses, his perspective on time to read the whole thing. But just verse 12 says this. He says, "Teach us to number our days carefully." This is a prayer to God. He's saying, because God, you have already numbered our days, God, teach us to number our days carefully. Why? So that we may develop a heart of wisdom. Moses says there's something to do with understanding that you have a limited amount of time and living that way to living wisely, that those two things go hand in hand. Moses asked God to help us to learn to number our days. What does that mean to number our days? It means to live as if your days are numbered. Because why? They are. That's right. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? It's pretty cheery so far. But the reality is our days are numbered. Now, the other reality is we number our days all the time in certain aspects. You've done it before. You've counted down the days until something. All right. What are some things that you've counted down the days till? Graduation, maybe. Right? What else? Vacation. You count down the days to vacation. What else? Yes, I'm sure that you said a baby. You counted down the days till a baby came or till the wedding came, which hopefully came first. But you counted down those days to some big event, maybe retirement. Okay, you counted down those days. And why do we do that? Why do we count those down? Well, one, because we're excited about the event. But the other thing is so that we make sure we get done all the things we need to do ahead of time. Right? You count down the days to vacation because you know, okay, on this day I got to get this done and I got to make sure this is done and I got to make sure, you know, we get the cat put up or whatever. And all these things that you've got to check off your list, we number our days so that we can live wisely. The Bible says that God has numbered our days, and Moses suggests and prays to God that God would help us realize that our days are numbered and that we would begin to number our days as well. See, because our time is limited, and it is, it's not pleasant to think about, but it's the reality, because our time is limited, it becomes our most precious resource, right? It becomes our most valuable resource. If you think about it, you can make more friends, at least most of you, all right? We can make more money, right? We can make a lot more of different things, but we can't make more time. Why? Because we all have a limited amount of it. So, if there was ever an area or an aspect that we needed to apply this question of wisdom to, it would be the wise use of our time. Now, if you're not a Christian here this morning and you're just kind of checking things out, you can certainly apply these principles and it will help you. But if you are a Christian, it's kind of mandatory, right? Because we as Christians, we believe that our time, our life, is a gift from God, right? And it's not really ours to begin with, that because of what Jesus did, he bought our lives, he created us in the first place, and then he bought us again through Christ sacrifice. And so our life is actually His, and we're just a steward of our lives. And so for us, using our time wisely is not optional. It's really mandatory because of who we believe God is and His claim He has on our life. So this morning, we're going to kind of dive down into how do we use our time wisely. But we're going to do that by starting out with four things that we all know about time, but that we choose to ignore. Okay? Now, all of these things you know already. Okay? After none of them are you going to say, wow, that was such deep insight. We are so lucky to have someone so intelligent speak to us on a... Like, you, that's what you normally say, I know, each week. But this week won't be like that, all right? You will say, oh, yeah. But this is just, these are good reminders because they're things we all know about time, but we choose to ignore. Okay, the first thing that we all know, but we choose to ignore is this. Investing small amounts of time over time is cumulative. Okay, investing small amounts of time over time is cumulative. That means it adds up to something. In fact, it adds up to something bigger than the little pieces of time would normally add up by themselves. It's kind of like money with compounding interest. You know, you can put a little bit and a little bit and a little bit at the end. After the interest adds up, it's more than just the total of the little bits that you put in. The same principle is true with our time. Investing small amounts of time over time is cumulative. It adds up to something bigger. Now, we see this in areas like exercising or eating right or our quiet time with God or our Bible reading or in the time we invest in relationships. Really, good habits or bad habits, the principle applies the same. Investing small amounts of time over time is cumulative. Now, that's important because if you want to be good at anything, you have to put that principle to use for you, right? If you want to learn how to play an instrument, if you want to be good at a sport, if you want to excel at anything, you have to apply this principle that just little bits of time over time actually has a cumulative effect and it makes it bigger. In the key areas of our life, small amounts of time over time make all the difference in the world. And while that's true, it's also true that one installment of whatever the thing is does little or no good, right? It's the time over time that makes it valuable. For example, just one time coming to church may or may not make a lasting impact. Just one installment of exercise is not going to make a big difference. For example, if it's been days or weeks or months or years since you exercised, but then you decided to go to the gym, all right? Most likely the next day someone's not going to come up to you and say, hey, you've been working out, right? It just, that's not the way the world works, right? Because one installment has little or no value. And in the same way that one installment has a little or no value, missing one installment really has a little or no consequence, right? If you have been working out every day for the last 6 months, if you skip a day, you don't automatically gain 50 pounds and lose all your muscle tone, right? That's not how it works either. Why? Because it's little by little, time over time, that has the cumulative effect, all right? How many people knew that? I told you, all right? This is just a reminder, okay? Little increments of time over time has a cumulative effect, all right? Number two, something you already know. Neglect is also cumulative, okay? Neglect is also cumulative. Regularly not exercising, regularly not eating right, regularly ignoring the important relationships in your life, that has a cumulative effect as well. It adds up to something more or less than just those little pieces would on their own. See, neglect is easy, right? It's easy to not do something, but it's also very costly. Okay, neglect is costly because it is cumulative as well. For example, if you think that investing a little bit of time over time to look after your health, you don't have time for that, you don't have the energy for that, if you think that takes too much time and energy, wait till something happens because you didn't do that. And then see how much time and see how much energy and see how much money you focus on your health at that point because you hadn't done it before, right? I came across this cartoon that kind of sums that up. It says, what fits your busy schedule better, exercising 1 hour a day or being dead 24 hours a day, right? That's kind of the question. Why? Because neglect is cumulative. If we don't do things, that has some effects as well. You know this to be true. If you skip your workout one day, it's much easier to skip it the next day. If you've skipped it for 2 weeks, it's much easier to skip it on that third week. If you sleep in church one Sunday, you know this to be true. Right? It's much easier to skip the next week. If you skip 3 weeks in a row, it's much easier to just sleep in the next week. Why? Because neglect is also cumulative. If you haven't called your friend that you know you should call, and it's been a month, and now it's been 6 weeks, and now it's been 2 months, it gets harder and harder to pick up the phone and make the call. Why? Because neglect is also cumulative. In the same way, other important things, our spiritual lives, for example, neglect there is cumulative as well. If you don't take the time to be in church, you don't take the time to read your Bible, you don't take your time to pray and have a quiet time with God, then when some crisis hits, now you feel further away from God, and you don't feel like the connection that you have there is allows you to have the conversation with Him that you need to have. And that's what we talked about last week. That's when wisdom comes in. And the Bible says wisdom will mock us in that circumstance, because we've been in one place for so long that we can't now hear the voice of God, or makes it much more difficult to hear the voice of God when we want to. Why? Because neglect is also cumulative. All right, so that's the first two. Small amounts of time over time is cumulative. Neglect is also cumulative. But the third thing is that random has no cumulative value. Okay? Random has no cumulative value. What I mean by that is this. There's no cumulative value in the random things we opt for over the important things in our life. Question. What did you do last year instead of exercising? You don't know, right? You did lots of different things, but you don't know. What did you do last year instead of reading the Bible? You don't know, right? What did you do last year besides spend extra time with your family? You don't know. If you took, on one hand, 30 minutes a day of exercise for the last year, right? That's what on one hand. On the other hand, you take all the things that you did instead of exercise for 30 minutes a day. What do you got over here? Nothing, right? Because random has no cumulative value. You don't even know what it is, right? You spent a little time on the internet, you slept in, you did lots of different things, but it adds up to what? It adds up to nothing, because random has no cumulative value. What did you do besides come home and eat dinner regularly with your family? You don't know, right? Maybe you worked longer, you went to the golf course, you did this, you did that, but at the end, what does it add up to? It adds up to nothing, because random has no cumulative value. What did you do besides spend a consistent, 15 minutes every day in quiet time? You did lots of different things, but they don't add up to anything, because random has no cumulative value. All right, the fourth thing, and you know this to be true as well, in the areas that matter most, you can't make up for misspent time. Right? In the areas that matter most, you can't make up for misspent time. You can't pull an all-nighter to catch up on stuff that's important. Now, we think we can because it works in certain areas of our life, right? How many of you, when you're in school, you pulled the all-nighter to do the paper or to study for the test, right? We all did that. We all crammed, and we, for most of us, it worked, right? Because we graduated, okay? And we passed the test, and maybe slid by with a C-minus or whatever. But it worked. We got the paper done. Or maybe you had a project that was due for work that you had to give, and so you stayed up all night to get it done, and you gave the presentation, and it went remarkably well, and you thought to yourself, I must just thrive under pressure. This is okay. This worked. And we believe that, but the reality is, in the important things in our life, it doesn't work that way. In the areas that matter most, you can't make up for misspent time. Again, we try it, but it doesn't work. How many of you have ever done this, all right? It's been a long time since you exercise, and you know you ought to exercise, and you used to exercise, and you're going to get better, and you're going to get back in shape. And so, you go to the gym, and you use every one of the machines that's in the gym. Twice, you go around, because you're really making up for lost time. Or maybe you're a runner. Maybe you don't go to the gym, you're a runner. And so, you used to be able to run like a marathon, but so now, instead of going like slow and starting out easy, you're going to make up for lost time. And so since it's been months, you're going to run 10 miles the first day. Right? What happens the next morning? Right? The next morning, your body sends you a message. And what message does your body send you? It says, you're an idiot, right? Because it doesn't work that way, right? In the areas that matter most, you can't make up for misspent time, right? We think having dinner with your family is a good thing. But if you haven't had dinner with your family for 6 months, it doesn't work to say, okay, family, today we're going to have dinner. We're going to sit down at 6 o'clock. We're going to stay for 8 hours, all right? Because you can't make up for misspent time. You can't make up for lost time in the areas that matter most. You know that to be true. It's been a while since you've read the Bible, and so you say, I'm going to make up for missed time. And so you sit down and say, I'm going to read through from Genesis to Revelation. No, you're not. Right? Even if you could, in one setting, what would you get? Nothing, because you can't make up for misspent time. It's not the same as a little bit and a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. You can't get it all in a lump sum, just like for in financial things. It's maybe easier to understand. Right? At 65, you can't just take a lump sum of money, stick it in the bank, and then hope it magically appears into what it would have if you'd have taken that same amount, little bits, over the last 30 years. Okay? It just doesn't work the same way. Why? Because little by little is cumulative, but in the areas that matter most, you can't make up for misspent time by cramming it in at the last minute. Now, if that's true, and I believe it is, if all those things we've talked about are true, and if there was a God that loved you and wanted the very best for you, what would that God tell you about your time? What do you think? Maybe it would sound something very close to like the verse we started with a couple of weeks ago where Paul writes this. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. See, it takes no effort to live unwise. That's easy. All right, that's easy peasy, fall off a log. Anybody can do that. Pay attention. Be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Focus on that little phrase, making the most of every opportunity, or making the most of all of your time. Or another way to translate that is redeeming the time, or getting the very most value you can out of every opportunity, or getting the most value you can out of all of your time. That's what God's direction to us is, because our days are numbered, we have a limited amount of time, because he wants us to live wisely. And so he says, be very careful how you live and make the most of every opportunity. Make the most, make sure you get the most value you can out of every opportunity, out of every minute that you've been given, make sure you get the most out of that. And the reason he says to do that is that we have to be careful because the days, the culture, the times are evil. They're not helpful in this regard. Maybe you've noticed that. If you just go with the flow and spend your time the way culture would encourage you to, you're not going to end up closer to God. You're probably not going to end up where you want to be. If you just pick up your feet and go with the flow of what your natural desires or what my natural desires tell me to do, I'm probably not going to spend my time in the wisest of ways. And so Paul says, be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity because the days, the times are evil. And so you have to be careful and pay attention. You see, the culture would say, missing one installment, it's no big deal. Don't worry about that. And you know what? It's true. Missing one installment is not the end of the world. But when you miss one installment, it's easier to miss the next one. It's easier to miss the next one because neglect is cumulative, and then you find yourself in a bad habit, and you find yourself in a place you never wanted to be in, that you never decided to be in, because you allowed yourself to go with the flow of culture. So this morning, our key question, maybe you've already been thinking about it. My guess is you have. The question is, where do you need to begin making consistent deposits of time? Where do you need to begin making consistent deposits of time? If you're going to live wisely, if you're going to take advantage of your limited time that you have, if you're going to make the most of all of your days that God has given you, what, how many ever days that is left, where do you need to begin making consistent deposits of time? In light of your past experience, in light of your current circumstance, where you are right now, in light of what you hope for the future. You know, what is your past experience? I don't know. It's different. Maybe you have gotten into some bad habits in your past. And so the way you spend your time now needs to be different accordingly. Maybe you got yourself into debt. Maybe you had a terrible family life where relationships were severed. And so now the way you invest your time is going to be a result of your past experience. What about your current circumstances? How should you wisely spend your time based on your current circumstance? I know you always used to do that, but what about now? You always used to work late. You always used to go on that two-week golf trip or hunting trip or whatever, but now you're married and you've got a family and there's a little one at home that didn't used to be there. Based on your current circumstance, what's the wise use of your time, and based on your future hopes and dreams, and the way the world really works, what is the best way to use your time? I hope we've all got a picture of what we want the future to look like. We've got pictures of what we want it to look like, you know, relationally, you know, what our family looks like, financially, hopefully spiritually. We've got hopes and dreams about what that looks like. If that's the case, Moses would say, okay, now, God, help us to number our days, because this is what we want it to look like. Help us to number our days so we can do now what we need to do to make sure that future looks like we want it to, as much as it depends upon us. Where do you need to begin making consistent deposits of time? That leads us to our bottom line question, where we just add that little extra little bit onto the line that we've already did. So let's just say this question all together. In light of my past experience, my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams, and based on the way the world actually works, what's the wise thing for me to do with my time? Right? Some of us have passions and hobbies that we can just get locked into and lose all track of time. Anybody got one like that? Anybody live with somebody that's got one like that? Right? Most of us, I see some fingers pointing, all right? Most of us have something like that, but we only recognize it in somebody else. Why? Because when we're in it, we lose all track of time. And we don't realize that we just spent 4 hours doing something. It seemed like just 5 minutes to us. It might be something big, you know, an expensive hobby. It might be something very small. It might just be watching every episode of whatever TV. It might be checking every person in the world's Facebook post. It might be some whatever app you have on your phone. For me, it's WordBrain. It's the app that's on my phone. Any WordBrainers out there? Yes. All right, Ethan. I'm with you. Nobody, don't do it if you're a word person, because it's addictive. And I'll just be on that thing. My kids got me hooked onto it, and now it's like months later, and I'm still going. I'm going to finish. I'm going to get to the end. I must get to the end. You have something like that, too, where you can just get into, and you don't realize how long you've been doing it, or how much energy, or how much money, or how much time you are putting toward that thing. And I'm not saying you can't have hobbies. I'm not saying you can't have passions, or you can never watch TV again. That's what I'm saying. Question, though, is there any of those things that cause tension at your house with someone that you love? Is there any of those things that your wife looks at you and it's like, man, I wish you would spend your time somewhere else, or your kids, or internally you would say there's some conflict in there based on what you're doing? I'm not saying it's a bad thing to do, but based on what you want the most, what is the wise thing for you to do with your time? Based on your past experience and your current circumstance and your future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for you to do with your time? Again, if you don't make those consistent deposits of time over time, you can never get that back. You can never make that up. On the good side, it's never too late to start doing the right thing. It's never too late to begin doing the right thing. And so the question, where do you need today to begin making those consistent deposits of time? Where is it that's come to mind and I talked? And what area of your life comes to mind where you need to make consistent deposits of time? You probably know the answer to that question. See, some of us have lived long enough where we can look back and we can see the benefits of where we got this one right. We can also look back over the other shoulder and see the consequences for when we didn't get this right, where we didn't give those installments of time to what we really now know and understand, and we even knew at the time was important, but we allowed other things to go in their place. If you ask that question and apply the answer to how you spend your time, you will look back on this season of your life with gratitude. You'll look back and you'll be so glad that you did, because those little bits of time over time will be cumulative. And if you do it intentionally, you'll end up at the place that you wanted to be. On the other hand, if you don't do it, you're going to look back, and sometime you're going to remember, and you're going to think, ah, I wish I wouldn't have wasted so much time. I wish I hadn't have misspent so much of my time, because now I can never get that time back. I can never get that time back with my kids. I can never get that time back with my family. I can never get that time back with whatever it is that's important to you. So the question, will you ask it in light of your past experience, in light of your current circumstance, in light of your future hopes and dreams? What is the wise thing for you to do with your time? Would you pray with me? God, thank you so much for loving us enough to tell us the truth, to tell us that our days are numbered. God, it's my prayer the same way it was Moses. I just pray that you would teach us to number our days as well, so that we might develop a heart of wisdom, that we might live wisely today and tomorrow and next week, because we have numbered our days and we realize that we have a limited amount of time. God, give us the courage to know what to do with what we've heard. God, give us the strength to do it. That's my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.